All right, we'll call this meeting of the zoning board to order. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Chairman Martin.
Here.
Mr. Bernie.
Here.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Here.
Mr. Lucchese.
Here.
Ms. O'Brien.
Here.
Mr. Rule.
Here.
Mr. Swindoll.
Here.
All right, this is a continuation of the hearing for the variation request at 631 Edgewood Place. Since the last meeting, we've received a number of documents, all of which will be become part of the record and for us to consider. And anyone who's going to speak to us tonight, you should have already signed up and stand up to be sworn. If you were sworn in last time, you're okay. If you're going to speak for the first time tonight, you need to get sworn in. Okay? You're going to talk?
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, you just need to get sworn in.
This is the old packet. This is tonight's packet.
Okay, I just saw the set.
Yeah, oh, no.
Okay. All right, so if you weren't sworn in at the last meeting, would you please stand so the secretary can swear you in?
To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
I do.
So at the last meeting, when we continued till tonight, we asked the applicant to provide us some additional information, some of which is included in the handouts we already have. For the benefit of the board members, I'd ask Mr. Raddatz, if he could very briefly summarize the variations that are being requested at this hearing.
The applicant seeks zoning variations in order to build a detached garage accessory building in essentially the side yard of the property. The zoning ordinance requires that a side yard setback of 10% of the lot width or 5 feet, whichever is greater, be provided. Per the application, a side yard setback from the western corner of the garage structure to the southwestern line of the property of 3 feet was being requested. The zoning ordinance also requires that there is a minimum combined side yard setback equal to 25% of the lot width or 10 feet, whichever is greater. For this building, for this property, the combined side yard setback should be 23.75 feet. As proposed, the combined side yard setback will only be 17.02 feet. The zoning ordinance also requires that a roof eave maintain a 3-foot side yard setback. Per the applicant's application, a setback of 1 foot to the corner of the garage roof eave to the property line as being requested.
Okay, so those are the variations that we're being asked to request. We voted at the last meeting to keep the public hearing open, so we would ask the applicant if there's anything you want to address us with tonight, this evening, to begin the hearing.
My name is Maureen Houston. I live at 631 Edgewood. I'm the one applying. I provided basically, I don't really have anything particular to say unless you had questions. You asked for some additional drawings, which I submitted. And then the other thing was response to some factual errors in the objection. So I think the additional drawings sort of speak for themselves. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them, but I didn't mean that was such, I provided so much information, I don't wanna bore you by repeating it again unless there's something that you.
Okay, any of the board members have questions for Mrs. Houston?
I had a question. I saw that in the drawings you had provided, a couple of drawings originally, the garage was parallel to the house in
yes.
orientation. And then there was a version of the drawing where the garage was set at an angle, which would, you know, kind of reduce the amount of distance this way and change the angle of driving in. Which of those two are you proposing?
I don't want to build the angle one. It would look like a Monopoly house or Monopoly buildings dropped. They'd all be a different orientation. It would be difficult also just because of the angle, it'd be an angle to the house. But we did that because I think it was you that requested, how would it turn out if we angled it? I wouldn't want to actually build that
so
garage.
So that's not actually what you're asking for?
It is not what I'd
Because
be
we have
for.
To consider either one or the other.
Well, I did submit an alternate where we moved it over a little bit more. It would limit the ability to put a larger car on the left side as you pull in because of the angles. But we would like it to be aligned in the same angles and plane as the house.
So for clarity, which of those options is the one that you're having?
Our preference
consider?
Is the original one we submitted, if that's,
well,
you know, which was A1.
It's up to you to decide. I just
yeah.
saw
A1
different
would
drawings,
be the so. Preferred. If that's not possible, then I submitted an alternate that might work. It wouldn't allow for a full-size car on the left side, but.
Well, I think what you're being asked is, you know, we need to consider.
My preference would
request.
Be the original,
okay.
the original application.
So the other picture, the other drawings were submitted to us just so we had that information and we could see what
right.
additional problems,
can,
if any,
right.
it might have
caused. You can
have
see what alternatives
but
are.
But you're going back to the original application, and those are the variations that Mr. Raddatz just read off, and that's what you want us to act on.
That would be preferred, right. I did, I mean, like I said, I submitted the alternatives that you requested.
Okay.
So.
I have a question. So I was not at the last meeting and I was reading through what was here. So the position of the garage is there because of the, where the trees are that nothing.
The idea is to preserve the trees.
Right.
Right. I mean, that was our hope.
Right, so you had said something in somewhere in the statement that had been other trees that had come down.
We've lost several large trees in the last few years, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So I think we lost six from the emerald ash, and I think two elm, Dutch elm.
So if those trees were here, there would be perhaps no room for a garage? At that point?
No, they were more or less around the, they were more in the, further in the back. Actually, they were under those power lines for the
yeah.
most part.
Yeah.
There was one that was in the front on the side that we may have had to remove. The original structure wasn't big enough to house a car. It was for a horse or two horses, maybe.
Yeah, on the other side, yeah.
Right, and we originally, when that first collapsed, applied to put a single car garage back on that location, and there were we were not able to get a permit for that. So we let it go for a few years and are at a point where...
Yeah, well, the standard kind of is that we would like to see people with two-car garages.
That would be the preference. We just didn't think we could accommodate it.
But the position of this where it is creates, because of the unique lot shape, gets into the encroachment. So if that one tree behind it were not there, would a lot of this go away?
Not really, because we get into the flooding problem and we can't go much further, and we get into the lateral power line.
I know the power lines there.
So our original, when I first was talking to Cliff, what we wanted was to put the garage in the rear yard. But the power line became a big obstacle, and so we went back to the drawing board, you know, looking for alternatives.
Well, I saw the one drawing, it was in the second pack, I think, that showed a clearance for the power line. It was diagrammed in blue.
Right.
And that would allow it to be, say, back, you know, somewhat further, yet still aligned and everything else. Maybe allow more ingress and egress for cars to kind of make the turn, because I noticed these last drawings laying here.
It might.
Radius of turns and things for cars.
Yeah, it might, I guess. I think one of the issues that has come up, if you look at the topographic survey, is
yes.
It is, there's quite a huge depression back there.
Yes.
You know, around the tree. So when it rains, even the tree is probably in about 2 feet of water.
Yeah.
So.
Well, sometimes, and I live next door to a neighbor who, my lots, our two lots are down, so his garage is somewhat higher than the actual ground, which kind of raised it up a bit, so his garage is not a problem with flooding. The water that falls, and when it comes, it just pools wherever if it doesn't have ample time to be, you know, absorbed.
Well, one of the objectives was to, along with the garage and driveway, was to build in some sort of underground drainage assistance, because every time it rains, it's underwater,
yeah.
And even for mosquitoes, and we'd like to not have that problem. But
anything else, Dave?
No, it had to do that if it were moved back, does that remove some of these objections or needs for?
Well, I think if it moves further back, it would go closer to the house, and then we have that. We didn't apply for that variation because we were more than 15 feet, but if we move it to get farther from the property line, then we have there's a firewall issue or something, because it would be closer to the house. And that is actually our only southern exposure. So,
Cliff, is that true about the firewall?
That's a building code concern, and it isn't regulated by zoning. I mean, you know, we allow attached garages, we allow detached garages at any distance per zoning, but it is a building code issue where we have appropriate measures to increase the fire safety of a garage when it gets close to a house.
Yeah, so, but going directly back doesn't seem to bring it closer to the house, but maybe
I wanted to ask for one clarification. What's the distance that we're trying to achieve where there wouldn't be a variation required? 5 feet? 5 feet for the structure, 3 feet for the eave, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Actually, the side yard setback at 10% of the lot width is like 9.7 something feet. So,
okay.
So it's larger than, yeah. It's larger than the minimum 5 feet.
So at the angle of the property line and the building, if we keep the building parallel to the house and just move it back in that straight line, because the angle is such a shallow angle, we don't gain many feet we don't gain much distance until you move it back really substantially. See, so that we're right now, that's the 3-foot mark, and we would have to get this building back to the point that even that corner of it is at least, what did you say, 9 feet?
9.7.
Right. So that's 3, so that's 9 feet over here. That's not going to happen with this building until it's back, way back here. And even if we went to 5 feet, which is the side yard setback, this corner would have to move back to about there in order for it to achieve that 5 feet. We'd still need the variation for the combined setback, but we wouldn't have that variation for either the eave or the, but it would be, the front of the garage would be basically in line with the back of the house virtually in order for that to happen.
When are we out of the side yard?
Never.
There's no possibility because of the power line.
And actually, that brings the back of the building to within striking distance of this lot line. Is that considered the side yard setback too, then, where the lot line comes at that angle? Because if the building moves back as far as we're talking about, it actually starts to encroach on this 41.91 foot.
It was considered side yard on the first application, yeah. Cliff, when we were trying to clarify what's rear and what's side.
So just the geometry of it, if you move it back, you would start to encroach over here, and you wouldn't gain the...
Then you're under the power. Well, here's the drawing that I'm speaking of. Yeah.
To go back far enough to achieve a 5-foot side yard setback, you'd be under the power lines anyway.
Well, yeah, it just gets though to get down to where we were originally talking about it within 1 foot, and now we're saying it's 3 feet. So, you know, I don't know what's acceptable to everyone, but it just seems that you know, positioning it back a little bit relieves some of these issues, even as far as the ingress and egress, because it allows you to straighten out your car and all that.
All right, any other questions of the applicant? All right, so we're going to let you sit down for a minute. We'll ask Mr. Raddatz to ask the other people who signed in to address us, and then we'll let you talk to us again.
Eric Houston.
Good evening. My name is Eric Houston, and I live at 631 Edgewood Place with my mom and brother. I can't think of any negative effect from having a regular single-story two-car garage built in our side yard. Putting a two-car tandem garage on the other side of our property would cause several problems, both for us and for Trina Bacchus, our neighbor at 8011 Oak Avenue. First, a tandem garage would have to be almost on the property line with 8011 to accommodate the width of a normal-sized car. Our neighbor, Trina Bacchus, would have to remove several trees and bushes in order for us to build the garage. Even if this request did work out, the garage would be attached with no doorway to our house because it would be attached to a bedroom wall. A tandem garage would unattractively stick out toward the sidewalk and leave Trina with a view of a 40-foot wall, presenting a legitimate visual obstruction. In addition, because we live to the southwest of 8011 Oak, the garage would cast a looming shadow over their driveway, blocking their southern and southwestern exposure to sunlight for much of the afternoon and early evening. Secondly, and in contrast to a tandem garage plan, a typical garage in our side yard would be at least 3 feet from the property line, with 623 Edgewood at its closest point. Our plan would preserve the only three remaining trees on our property, a maple, an oak, and a black walnut, all of which are in good health. The garage would not stick out. It would be mostly tucked away from view behind the oak and walnut trees, about 33 feet from the sidewalk. The garage would be to the northeast of 623 and would not affect our neighbor's enjoyment of the sun. I lived at 623 for the first 18 years of my life. My bedroom windows looked over the backyard and the driveway next to 631, where we live now. I spent many summers trying to grow flowers in a window box over the driveway while living there. It is very difficult due to the complete lack of sun. If anyone wants plant life on the northeast side of the house, it has to be a shade-loving plant. In conclusion, it is reasonable to have a place to park cars off the street and out of view of passersby, along with a place for our bikes and indoor equipment like a lawnmower. We have spent lots of time considering each possibility for building the garage. We, Maureen, myself, and Neil Houston, respectfully ask that you grant the requested variances in order to allow us to move forward with the construction of the garage as requested.
Any questions for Mr. Houston? Thank you.
Kevin Horan?
Good evening. I'm Kevin Horan. I live at 623 Edgewood. I think you have my original letter opposing the proposed variance. I did not see the amended packet until today. I know there's a 16-page letter that Ms. Houston submitted going through our objection. I didn't have time to read it in detail. As I think I've mentioned, we've got two young kids and we both work, so we're got our hands full. With that in mind, I do thank everybody for being here. I know it's kind of a thankless job, and I know you guys take it seriously, and I certainly appreciate that. I'm not going to go over the objections that I had originally, only to say that in terms of any factual errors that I may have had, I was provided a two-page rendering of this, which I thought was a garage, even with the front of the house. And that a variance was requested, so I responded with the concerns that I had. Those concerns, the majority of them are I still have, namely the safety issue. And going over the submission that's presented to you today, including the statement of objection to the alternative plan for a tandem garage on the other side, I guess my question would be, I read the letter, and it makes perfect sense that the concerns of Ms. Bacchus, who lives at 8011 Oak, are that she doesn't want a large garage on her property line. Those are totally rational. I get it, and those are kind of the same concerns that I have. I guess my question to the board and to the applicant is, why are the concerns of the residents of 8011 Oak more important than ours? Ms. Bacchus had raised a few concerns, which were echoed by Ms. Houston, about her sight lines, depreciation of property value, and her quality of life, safety concerns, and the view from the porch. What Ms. Bacchus doesn't want next to her driveway, I don't want next to mine as well. A concrete garage on Ms. Bacchus's property line would negatively affect her property value and would negatively affect her enjoyment of her property, and that's how I feel about the proposal to have the garage. Essentially, it would create a tandem driveway. And I guess the question that I had, and I do appreciate this board's willingness to consider alternatives and to try to be creative about solving the solution here, is that why the variance sought necessarily has to negatively affect either us or Ms. Bacchus on the other side. As we've touched on here tonight and last month, the variance, a variance could be sought for the patio, for any number of things that don't affect us. I guess the thing that I keep coming back to is that the compromise, either under the original plan or under the alternative plan, needs to come from the neighbors, because there's an encroachment on the setback, and there's going to be a structure adjacent to one of our driveways would create a tandem driveway. In addition to, what I had originally saw as a safety issue, which I still do, it's a building density issue. It's a building next to a driveway. That then also creates a tandem driveway. If there was a tandem driveway there when we were looking for the house, we wouldn't have bought it. That's not really aesthetically in line with the neighborhood. That's not what we were looking for. In terms of the safety issue, which was raised by Ms. Bacchus, having a large structure next to her driveway, we have that same safety concern. And I guess what was addressed in Ms. Houston's response was, I guess her her thought that I feel I'm entitled to a sight line over her property, and that's not really the case. And the safety issues that we talked about before, and I think that have been focused on, are about coming out of the driveway and being able to see oncoming traffic. And it occurred to me just this weekend, as I saw a car coming around that corner and taking the apex of the corner about 35 miles an hour, that it's not so much the people backing out the driveway being able to see oncoming traffic, but oncoming traffic being able to see people coming down the driveway. That's an especial concern for us as parents, because we have two little kids who are only going to get more rambunctious and fly down that driveway. I certainly think the obstruction of another building there, even if it's a split second of somebody being able to see someone else coming down the driveway, especially a small person, it is worth it. So that's where I stand, at least on the safety issue. Parking cars out of the side of the street, I don't know if that's really the a main point that that we need to focus on in terms of the ability to have cars out of the view of the street. Ms. Houston has a driveway at present, and cars can and should be parked out of the view of the street, and there's a driveway that allows that. The back half of the driveway is consumed with her belongings and a beekeeping operation. You know, that place is for cars. It can happen right now without a garage. In terms of alternatives, I've had a little bit of time today to go over the plans, and I certainly appreciate both the board and Ms. Houston's willingness to try to come up with alternative measures. And going through the plans here, I see, at least from my point of view, and I think this was touched on by Mr. Burney, that every foot that you put the garage back into the lot is better. Every foot that you get it away from the property line is better. I know that there is a very strong desire to preserve the trees that are on the lot, but I think there's a tree in the back third of the lot that if the garage was placed at that location, I don't necessarily see a variance that needs to be sought. I know nobody wants to cut down mature trees, but of the three trees that are on the property, this is certainly the youngest. It would also require a new driveway to be poured adjacent to mine. You could utilize the current driveway and swing it around in the backyard. That may or may not be aesthetically pleasing to Ms. Houston. It may not be her preferred plan for her backyard, but it is one that requires less of a variance and less of a sacrifice from either one of her neighbors. One of the variances that hasn't been sought, and we touched on it tonight, is the patio. I don't know the conflict between the building and the zoning codes here. Why Miss Houston's porch and patio need to come at the expense of, I guess I don't know why the variance has to be on our side. The variance sought is not to make the patio smaller or attach the garage. All of these things could be done without requiring sacrifice from either one of the neighbors. So the shared tandem driveway actually that's contemplated by this plan, either the original plan or the alternative plan, is in and of itself another safety concern. You're pouring a driveway immediately adjacent to ours, and whether or not the garage is towards the street or back, you have cars coming in and out of there. The cars necessarily have to go on the driveway to go to the garage, and you're creating more density with the cars that are there. That's a concern for me. As I've said, you know, if there was a tandem driveway there when we were looking, that's not something that we would have gone for. So I appreciate the board's indulgence, both of our comments, and I appreciate Ms. Houston's efforts to try to work with both us and the board. My suggestion, I think, is a compromise and not an unreasonable one. In terms of removing one tree. So I guess those are the comments that I have. If you have any questions for me,
any questions?
I'm more than happy to ask, to answer them.
Not right now. We may have some later, but thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
So Mrs. Houston, you have an opportunity to address us before we close the public
A couple brief things. I don't know if you're referring to a tandem garage as just or driveways because two are next to each other. They wouldn't be attached because actually the driveway at 623 is not to the property line. So there would remain, you know, currently there's dirt with some plants there that would remain between. The second thing, I think we have a temporary garage set up in our backyard just for storing outside equipment. And maybe I think the neighbor might think that the driveway goes all the way back there. Our cars, the entire driveway is covered with cars. The driveway only goes to that rear corner. So it's not taken up with really anything. The driveway that we have right now really only goes to the back of the house. So one of the first things that we looked at, I told you, is putting the garage in the backyard. But one of the downsides of that is that would require, because of the shape of the lot and making the curve around the house, because of the angle of the house in the back, and it's sort of a small space to that northeast part of the property line, we would have to pave more than 50 or 60% of our rear yard to get to a garage in the area where he's talking. And so one of the reasons for moving it where we did was if we put in a different driveway, it would really minimize the impermeable surface and we could recover more green space and keep, you know, one of the issues is with the flooding. So the last thing we wanted to do was have more impermeable surface and just increase the intensity of flooding where we already have it, so.
All right, anything else you want to tell us?
I think that was it.
Any questions for Mrs. Houston?
No.
All right, there's no one else in the audience who wishes to address this, is that correct? All right, so we're gonna close the public portion of the hearing, and what we're gonna do as a board now is discuss this, and then ultimately make a recommendation to the village board of trustees. We got anything to say?
I had a question for you, Cliff. Has to do more with building code. Is there some kind of a requirement for maintaining a certain amount of permeable surface on a lot when you put an addition or a driveway or anything? There are some jurisdictions where they limit the amount of.
We don't have that specific requirement. However, there is a grading ordinance on the books which essentially deals with that problem. So yes, you could pave the entire lot, although I don't know how you would deal with the water then, but the water has to be dealt with.
Right.
So it's an, it becomes an engineering problem rather than just a like a zoning problem where, oh, you know, you're only allowed to pave such and such a percent.
But that would create some sort of an issue to do with, you've paved this much, how are you going to deal with the water?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's just logical because we're depending on water to soak into the ground, and when you paved it all, it can't go anywhere.
Okay. Anybody else have anything?
With the new patio next to the existing porch, on page A1 drawing, can it go to the east, close the garage, go closer and make maybe the new patio smaller?
Eliminate.
Or eliminate it and put the patio on the far east side where the current driveway is? Or back somewhere else?
I just see an issue with the turning radius for the car to get in and out of it. If, you know, as you move it that way, the radius gets harder and harder to make.
Sure.
And at some point it becomes it's physically there, but it's not accessible because you can't drive into it with, you know, any kind of reasonable vehicle.
2 feet?
This, yeah. I think changing the angle, which I had suggested before, changing the angle, the advantage of that is that now the cars can go in and out without
right.
having to turn, right? So if they if the angle were rotated, then it might be able to be moved closer to the house as well, because you still have that
right.
more direct access. That was the thought behind my suggestion of that, because if that were rotated and it were moved further towards, the patio would get to be a little bit of a triangular shape, but we would be able to achieve at least possibly another couple of feet, which brings us to the nominal 5-foot side yard setback, not counting the total setback, but at least it achieves that five foot setback,
right?
Which was why I suggested it, but you know, we're considering the other option.
Did these come from you, Lisa? You want to explain?
Sure. The drawings that were on the dais tonight are from the village's traffic consultant, KLOA. What they did was to take the two plans. So when you see proposed garage one, that was the original plan Ms. Houston submitted. And it shows, it's an auto turn analysis showing what a vehicle that is 16.75 feet long, how it would be able to access that driveway. And the key at the top tells you the blue lines show the body of the vehicle, the green dotted lines show the front tire path, and the red lines show the rear tire path. And it does show that it is accessible, although for the car that's going to park in the northern spot, it does take a fair amount of maneuvering to get that vehicle in and out of that garage spot. The second page, which is proposed garage two, is an analysis of a garage if it were tilted in the way that was suggested at the conclusion of last meeting. And what you'll see is that it's still about a foot off of the property line when you consider the overhang, so the variations here are still in place. And it is accessible, but it is tight. And this is a 16.75 foot car in length. The one thing that our traffic consultant pointed out to us was that if this was a full-size vehicle, a Suburban, a pickup truck, it would be virtually impossible to use the driveway with a vehicle that size if you were to tilt it a little bit. And further, when you go into this kind of configuration, in order to access the driveway, the vehicle is going to have to swing out toward the left in order to make that right-hand turn. So they would be swinging out into the other traffic lane in order to really be able to angle the vehicle into the driveway. Given that it's kind of a low traffic area, it's not a major concern, but if this were in a different setting, that would not be acceptable.
But both of these studies keep the structures in their current location.
We asked the traffic consultant about that, and Cliff, correct me if I'm wrong, but moving it closer to the house, I don't think would have helped the vehicle accessibility issue. I don't think it would have improved it. It may have worsened
the
diagonal situation.
Not even with it's the trees. Trees are in the way.
You'd have to take the trees out.
Okay. It's counterintuitive to me, but that's his job, not mine. So I suppose I will take his expert input.
And Cliff, tandem driveways are acceptable.
There's no prohibition against it. There's a number of them.
Yeah.
That I.
There are shared driveways in the village too.
Yeah, the shared driveways are, you know, the size of one driveway but shared by two adjacent properties. Those are always special.
So, did the traffic consultant have anything to say about the sightline issue? I don't see at all how the presence of this structure impedes the sight lines up pulling out of the driveway. I mean, it's 20 feet behind you by that point.
The traffic consultant did not weigh in on that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not clear to me how having this structure back here would make it any safer or less safe to pull out, especially because the tandem proposal over here is actually going to encroach much closer to the side.
What if the trees
the trees are definitely more of an impediment than the building.
Sure.
Well, Chuck, that was my thought, that, I think everybody agrees that there ought to be a garage here, and I think that Mrs. Houston, through her testimony, has indicated that she's a rather sophisticated owner, And I think that she must have known when she bought the property that there was a problem with the Edison lines, because you can see those.
Which I didn't know.
And you know that there was an unusually shaped lot, and you know that the stable that you had wasn't going to last long. So when you bought the property, you knew there was going to be problems, and none of these are surprises, as far as I can tell. And I don't think it's reasonable to expect an owner to bear a burden of approximately $40,000 to have to bury a power line. I think that's too much to ask. So the question is, where are you going to build a garage? You know, you got the neighbor, and I get my directions mixed up, okay? So I'm going to say you got the Oak Street neighbor. The Oak Street neighbor doesn't want it, as it's pointed out, because it's going to impede her view and it's going to lower her property value. And you know, half the letter you wrote was all about how impacting a view isn't something that we should consider. So if we shouldn't consider it for the Oak Street, the Edgewood neighbor, I'm not going to consider it for the Oak neighbor. You know, if you move the garage to Edgewood neighbor's edge of the property, he's got the same concerns as the other owner does. So I think there's another option. Yeah, I think the other option is to move the garage closer to the house and take down a tree. Take down a tree in front of the house. Get your driveway so you can drive straight in. I mean, we're always concerned about trees. But sometimes they have to come down. They got to come down when you build houses. They got to come down when you build soccer fields in the village. And I think that if you move the garage closer to the house, you're going to satisfy your Oak Street neighbor, because she can't see the garage because it's blocked by your house. You're going to satisfy your Edgewood neighbor because it's farther away from the property line. And if there's no variation requested, then he's got no legal standing to complain about it. And you're going to satisfy yourself because you're going to have a two-car garage. The downside, of course, is I think you can do it if you take out one of the trees in front. And, you know, you can go to a nursery and get a replacement tree, and then over time it'll grow again. But, you know, to me, that's the way to solve this problem is to, you know, sacrifice a tree, and there you go. But that's just that's my thoughts. That's how I looked at this. So
I kind of agree with you. Had to lose trees on my property because my neighbor built a garage and my tree hung over his location in the backyard for a garage. So we took down the tree. Good neighbor. Allow them to use their property more fully. So I love trees, but sometimes they start out as little trees and they get to be big trees and they become a whole different thing. So it's in the wrong spots.
All right, anybody else got any comments? Are you ready, to vote on this matter?
I just would like to concur that, I mean, saving the trees is worthwhile doing if possible. But in this particular case, there's so many restrictions that in order to fulfill the zoning requirement, the removal of that tree is going to be the most direct way to a satisfactory conclusion, I think. Reluctant as I am to recommend taking trees down.
Okay, somebody want to make a motion?
I make a motion to deny it as it presently is and to reconsider it if they come back with a plan removing the tree and moving the garage.
So why don't you make a motion that we recommend to the Village Board of Trustees that these variations not be granted.
I make that motion.
Is there a second?
I second that motion.
All right, is there any discussion on that motion? Are you all ready to vote? Okay, so a yes vote is that the variation not be granted, and a no vote is that the variation not be granted.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. You want to call the roll?
Mr. Burney.
Yes, I vote yes.
Mr. Dombrowski.
No.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Mr. Rule?
Yes.
Mr. Swindoll?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, so the recommendation of the Zoning Board of Appeals to the Village Board will be 6-1 that the variation not be granted. So you have the, you know, talk to Lisa or Cliff. They'll tell you when this will be on the schedule of the Board of Trustees, and you're welcome to appear before them, and sometimes they follow our recommendations and sometimes they don't. Okay, anything else on the agenda this evening? Do we have a motion to dismiss? We have a motion to dismiss the meeting?
Adjourn.
Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.